I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Mitchell Levy. He is the head of Credibility Nation and runs something called the Referral Network Club, which I hope we get a chance to learn about. But he is a 2 times TEDx speaker and an international best-selling author of over 60 books and an executive coach at Marshall Goldsmith's 100 Coaches. I hope it's not a surprise that Mitchell is an expert on credibility, because it defines who he is. After interviewing 500 thought leaders on credibility, he published a 7-country international best-selling book, delivered a powerful TEDx talk on humanity, created courses, and created the Credibility Nation membership community to help those live, learn, and surround themselves with others on the credibility journey. Mitchell, welcome to Leaders and Legacies.
Great to be here. I kind of like that read you just did. So thank you. Good to be here.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about you, and I think the listener will appreciate, is you have an ability to catch somebody off guard with a compliment before they can barely get a word out of their mouth. When we first jumped on, that's immediately what you did, and it's a part of your DNA. I can see that. I guess my first question is, how did you learn that?
Yeah, or actually, by the way, for those who are just listening, you know, Craig's wearing a really nice brown tweed jacket. And like, I think what happens is we live in the world where we have all these marketing cookie cutter approaches, and we're not supposed to say this and we're not supposed to do that. But if something catches your eye and it's a compliment, you go, "I like it." Now, if something catches your eye and it's the opposite of a compliment, you don't say it unless it is going to be helpful for the person, but you don't start that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of us hold on to compliments like it's our Subway money to get home. And so we kind of clinch onto it and we give it out sparingly.
Why? I'm going to say why.
Yeah. But it's so refreshing. And I imagine everybody that meets you, they immediately feel delighted that they meet you. And something tells me, I don't know, it's a guess. Does that help credibility?
Ooh, that's a great question. Thank you. Maybe I should have had a different answer because of your question. So the answer is yes. The way the dictionary defines credibility today is only 1/3 accurate. What it says is it's the quality in which we're trusted. That is true. But we need to continue. Credibility is the quality which you're trusted, known, and liked. And so it's the concept of, I hadn't really thought about this until you brought this up. To be likable means that you show respect. You come early, you come prepared, you come with your heart. To be likable means that you are spreading other people's cred dust. You're sharing the ideas, thoughts, and opinions of others. And so maybe you're right. Maybe that I do it naturally because I noticed that's a concept of being credible.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's part of being generous. And the, you know, I have a buddy who we were fighting over who would buy lunch one day. And you know, in the sense of we weren't pushing the bill towards each other. We were, you know, we both had, you know, we nearly ripped the bill in half to see who could get it. And he said, "Craig, I insist on paying the bill. I'm fulfilling my father's wishes. I'm like, well, what are those? He said, my dad told me, he said, if you always buy lunch, you will never go hungry. And I think you do that in dispensing compliments to others. It's a generosity that you extend to others. And it's, and I do think it helps build credibility. I think it helps build relationships.
Craig, I'm going to say where it's deserved. You know, you should never, you have to have as part of being credible, the intent and commitment to do the right thing. And if the right thing at the point in time is to share a compliment, then yes, there are times where it's not the right thing. And certainly if you don't mean it, if you don't have integrity is one of those values of credibility. And it turns out it's the only value that's listed twice in terms of the 10 values of credibility. It's your external integrity, what you tell the world, but it's also your internal integrity. If deep in my mind, I did not appreciate the jacket you were wearing, for me to say something would not be credible, right? It would mean I'd be inauthentic. So I need to be authentic in how I act and then have the integrity to believe what I say.
Yeah. Well, you do it well. You do it well.
Thank you.
There are a couple things that you told me in the green room that kind of surprised me. You know, one was that you met Jeff Bezos sitting on a bench when he was searching for Series B. And we can talk about that in a minute. The thing that really caught me by surprise, and I have to admit, it troubles me a little bit. You don't like cilantro?
I that's a physical reaction I actually have. For those who are curious, and by the way, for the 20% of the population that agrees with me, just go into Google, go into Bard, or, you know, and actually type in, tell me about cilantro allergies. And there was a great article in the New York Times probably 6-7 years ago that talks about there's a portion of the population that the allergy doesn't cause anything bad. It doesn't cause shortness of breath, swelling of mouth, any of that stuff. What it does is it causes your taste buds to change the composition of cilantro so it actually tastes like soap. And I happen to be one, and surprisingly, I'm one, my wife is one, and my son loves cilantro. So go figure.
Wow. Well, if you ever come to Austin, you're going to have a hard time eating because we put cilantro in everything here.
That's how I found out was like 30 plus years ago, maybe 35. I went for dinner with my family in San Francisco, and there's this famous Indian restaurant called Gaylord's, and everyone is sitting around the table. And I had never tasted, I was East Coast guy before then. I never tasted cilantro, and everyone's sitting around the table talking about how amazing Indian food is. And I normally love Indian food, and every dish tasted like soap. But I didn't say anything because I thought it must have been me. And then a couple of weeks later, I went to a Mexican restaurant for a burrito, and I took a bite and I pulled out this big green piece of cilantro, and I go, this is the culprit. And then I went to the person behind the counter. So what is this? I didn't say this is my nemesis, this is my kryptonite, what is this? But I said, what is this? And that's when I found out it was cilantro.
Wow. What an interest. I had never heard of that allergy before. That's bizarre. Well, let's talk about Bezos then. So you met him. Where was he in life at this point? How'd you meet him? What happened?
So at the time, this was before I became an entrepreneur in 1997. In 1996, I was working at Sun Microsystems. I was part of a nonprofit called CommerceNet. The goal of CommerceNet was to help proliferate the use of the internet in business, which of course we now know how successful they were or how successful that was. And I decided to focus on running the marketing component of the annual conference for CommerceNet. And I made a reach out to Jeff Bezos, who had just received Series B on his book company. And so, you know, nobody really knew who he was. He was sitting outside the room ready to speak. It was like 15, 20 minutes before he was supposed to go on stage, and nobody was there. And I sat down next to him and I said, "Hey, do you mind company?" He goes, no, not at all. I just was getting ready. And I go, "Well, you're ready. You got this." He goes, "Yep, I got this." And I asked a question, which was real, because at the time he was all in for books and only books. Right. And I said, "So why just books?" And his response was, "Well, there's a huge problem. And one of the places that it shows up most prevalent is in the inefficiencies in the book industry." I said, "I got that." I go, "So you're going for more?" He goes, "Oh yeah, Mitchell, we're going to sell everything. And here's the cool part. As we're learning how to sell other things and break the ecosystem that exists today, we're going to produce new products. And then we're going to take those new products and we're going to sell them." So before AWS came into existing, he had in his mind that he was going to do things like create AWS.
Wow. Yeah, just amazing the vision he had. And I remember one of his statements was, "Your margin is my opportunity."
You know, he was one of the first to be able to talk to Wall Street and get them excited about not making money. And it was very clear. He goes, "Listen, we are going to do everything that we can. We're going to run at either thin margins or we're going to run in the red. And there'll be a point in time where our company will be it." And he has held true to that promise. But imagine, he had a couple of years. There were a couple of years where people were talking about Amazon going away.
Yeah. Well, let's think about that from the credibility standpoint. You know, raising money, and certainly raising the amount of money he raised, is tough. And to go in and pitch, "Hey, we're going to spend a ton of money, not make anything. As a matter of fact, we're probably going to lose. And after we lose a bunch of money, we're actually planning to lose a whole bunch more money." How does one build credibility and get people to write those big checks?
Now, Craig, no one's asked me this question, so this will be kind of fun to give you the answer on the fly. What I'm going to be doing is, there are 10 values of credibility. I'm going to tie that into what he did at the time. So first of all, he had a vision. And the vision was, take a look at the current ecosystem, not just the inefficiencies of the book business, which I could spend an entire, I run 4 book publishing companies. We've published over 750 books. I could talk about the inefficiencies of the book system. He goes, "But look at how goods and services are purchased and delivered and the inefficiencies there." He goes, "So when we are able to deliver that last mile, right, to make it so that somebody actually doesn't have to leave their house to be able to get their goods and services in a quick and efficient time, life will change. And we need a very big company that's very trusted. So how do we get there? We can't get there overnight. Here's what we're going to do. We're moving after these markets. We're going to go through them very efficiently, very effectively, and we're going to make these things happen." Now, here's what's interesting. And this is where credibility comes in. He had the intent and commitment to do the right thing, not just by the investors, but he truly felt this is what the consuming public wanted. He absolutely was extremely authentic in how he showed up, and his integrity, besides maybe the internal integrity of cheating on his wife, right? But his integrity up until then, both external and internal, were very, you know, it was, you knew when you were in a meeting with him, and he was very direct and very to the point in what he wanted. And it was one of those things that he said he was going to do. He didn't waver, and he kept doing what he said, you know, which is a sign of somebody who doesn't flip the switch. When the dot bomb came, it very easy to crawl up and get unhappy. He just kept going and he kept moving. And they're one of the companies that kept going. And so he, when he looked investors in the eyes, he told them up front, don't expect a large return in the next couple of years. If you do, we're not the stock to invest in. We're not the company to invest in. What you can expect is something significantly greater when we have a big share of the marketplace. And so he has been true to his world, true to his word, but he started saying it up front and was very clear on his vision. Not too dissimilar to almost everything Elon Musk has touched.
Yeah.
Right. He basically says, here's what we're doing. The world needs changing. And I know everyone says we can't do it, but I think we could run a rocket ship company. I think we can build an electric car company. I think we can do something that allows people to transact money in a more efficient way, PayPal. Right. I mean, he's just been successful, sets his mind on an area where the marketplace really needs adjustments, and started painting the vision before other people had it.
Yeah. That's interesting. And you know, both of them, both Bezos and Elon Musk, are obsessed about eliminating loss, minimizing loss and inefficiencies, loss in the terms of inefficiencies. You know, and so I've heard some of the Tesla engineers interviewed, and they, if you look inside a Tesla, there's no knobs and buttons. That's because it's a mindset of, why would we add parts that we don't need? Just build it in the touchscreen. And it's with the Cybertruck, they got rid of the door handles. It's all about eliminating things that can create problems, that create, speaking in an engineering mindset, lossy systems. It's all about removing the loss from a lossy system.
Simplicity. Which is leads towards my focus of clarity. But yeah, it's all about simplicity.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Actually, before we move there, you said there are 10 elements of credibility. What are those 10 elements?
So it's if you focus on, if you want, for those who are listening, go to the TEDx talk. We are losing our humanity, and I'm tired of watching it happen. And so I go through all those in detail. A credibility is the quality in which you're trusted, known, and liked. And under each one of those three areas are 4, 4, and 2. At the beginning of the program, I mentioned the 2 under like, which was showing respect and spreading cred dust.
Yeah. Showing respect and cred dust. I like that. And if I had to tell tomorrow, because somebody's going to ask me, if I go out and say, hey, I'm going to spread some cred dust, they're going to say, what in the heck is cred dust? How would you define that again?
So it's you can go to creddust.com, and I actually put a definition in there, but for cred dust, it's sharing the ideas, thoughts, and actions of others, right? So if you said tomorrow, if you go out and you just say, hey, got this great idea, we should be sharing the ideas, thoughts, and actions of others. And it didn't say, oh, by the way, Mitchell Levy came up with this idea and said we should be spreading some cred dust, sharing the ideas, thoughts, and actions of others. Most people would do it without using, because we've been taught to take ownership. The bad part of running, of being a manager, being a leader, is that the leader's job in the command and control world was that, hey, I am going to have people work for me. They're going to produce stuff and I'm going to take credit for it. That's the old command and control leadership style. That's not the style that works today. Right. So it's the leader who actually does spread cred dust, who actually does have the ideas from the bottom flourish up, who delivers good customer service because the employees are really engaged and happy. Those are the leaders that are going to succeed going forward.
You said something really interesting, that taking credit for the ideas of others, that's not what works today. There are a number of people that looked at, you know, us going through pendulum swings. We move through these 80-year cycles. And the guy named Roy H. Williams, who lives here in Austin, wrote a book called Pendulum, saying we go through 2 40-year swings, 40 years of a me cycle followed by 40 years of a we cycle. And for reference, we're halfway into the we cycle. But Last year I read Lee Iacocca's book, which was his autobiography, which was published in 83 or 84. 83 was the peak of the me cycle. And if I hadn't read Pendulum before reading that, I would have absolutely hated Lee Iacocca. I was like, this guy's just so arrogant. He's so full of himself. And the true answer is he was a leader of the time, writing in the leadership style of the time. But that style has changed.
Well put. Well put. So when you think about the word credibility, we have to be credible for the surrounding we're in at the moment. And for instance, if we're now looking back at it's so funny, by the way, you had a hard time saying Musk, because we've been trained that Jeff Bezos is Bezos, and we've been trained that Elon Musk is Elon.
Yes.
Right. It's just an interesting thing. That's a little bit more of today's world, right? You could actually reach the most wealthiest person in the world if you wanted to send him an email, and theoretically he'll read it, right? So the interesting part is we need to be credible for our surroundings, right? There's context of what credibility is. If a leader was going to be credible during Lee Iacocca times, that was a different form of management style. What happens is we're having a hard time transitioning to the newer style today. And those people who are in the command and control are not, they don't give up as quickly, and they don't focus. And so there are now many new people, many new books, many, many ways in which we now, and COVID helped this happen a whole lot quicker, where we recognize that the world needs to change, but we haven't quite come up to it in all aspects of who we are and what we do.
So let me see if I understand this cred dust. For me to get cred dust, I should celebrate the contributions and the thoughts of others and become kind of a megaphone to promote others. Is that it, or is it different?
Well, I think you carried that concept to an extreme, and that's one way people actually do become thought leaders or become influencers, as they share the thoughts, ideas, and actions of others. Oprah, who had a good heart, also shared lots of other people. So she was very good at doing this. I'm going to say you should do what makes sense for you. With a caveat, like even in this talk, you talked about a local person who lives close to you who's written a book, and you mentioned him by name. You're spreading cred dust. I mean, you just do it in your actions. It's just natural for you. You don't need to do anything more other than to recognize, like for someone like you, like me, when we're doing podcasts, to recognize that podcast interviewee that we interviewed that changed my life, right? Mm-hmm. Or that gave me an idea, you guys should check out. That's the reason I mentioned the TEDx. You want the 10 values, I could give them to you. However, if you want them and digest them at a time where it makes sense, watch the TEDx. It's kind of cool. It's 16 minutes, right? But you could Google it and get, and answer that question immediately. That's not as helpful as having it done within context.
Yeah. Well, and here's a real life thing that happened. And I'd be interested in your take on this. If you had to answer right now, who invented the iPod, what name would you say?
I know it wasn't Jobs, but he's the one who made it happen. So I don't have a name. I mean, I'd have to, if I didn't want the click of my keyboard on the podcast, I'd actually look it up immediately.
Yeah. So it was designed by Tony Fadell. And he had actually been working on that for years before he joined Apple. And the genius of Steve Jobs was Jobs hired Fadell, not as an employee, but as a contractor to do a feasibility study for the iPod. But Fadell had already been working on it. And Jobs looked at the concept study and he said, we're going to run with it. I want you to come on as a full-time Apple employee. And Fadell, it took 4 weeks for Jobs to convince him to come on board. He was looking for certain things. But back to the credibility, everybody looks at Steve Jobs as somebody who changed the world, which he fully did. But part of the way they changed the world was by hiring the right people. And he talked about that to a certain degree, but it's shocking how few people know the name Tony Fadell. Have you heard of the Nest thermostat?
Yes.
That was Tony Fadell.
No kidding.
So think about some of the things. And by the way, it was the iPod team that did the original iPhone. It was the iPod team that did the iPad. And Tony Fadell decided to leave Apple and he founded Nest. And so here's this person that has changed the way we live our lives from multiple perspectives. And nobody knows his name. So if you were to go back and coach Steve Jobs, I've just given you the ultimate task. You're going to go back and you're going to coach Steve Jobs in 2000. And you're going to say, Steve, for you to have maximum cred dust, here's what you need to do. What would that be?
Sorry, I got lost and I'm reading Gemini's response to who is Tony Fadell and what else did he invent? I couldn't help it. It's the second time you said it. Interesting character. I'll spend some more time thinking about it. The problem with armchair quarterbacking on this sort of thing is you can't change somebody who's in motion, who has a particularly strong focus. And I believe the world needed him at the time, right? In order to get what his general philosophy is, consumers want something better, but they don't know what they want. So let's make sure we just give it to them and then tell them that's what we did. Okay. And he didn't want to have, from what I understand, Apple was so constrained on what people talked about and how they talked about him that he didn't want other people to get ideas, thoughts, you know, that this happened. Now, what I would suggest in today's world with today's companies, if the CEO can't do it themselves, to have a right-hand person by the side, who's actually the person who actually keeps track of who does what, and to make sure they get the appropriate amount of credibility, because what's the appropriate amount of press, the amount appropriate amount of attention, because we have an opportunity in the world that a company is not a set of nameless, faceless people. It is when you get to the point where you've got something, you know, you go into an Apple store and you expect the same service. And that's what Apple has created for the world, the same thing as McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You go into a McDonald's around the world, you have the same quality food, the same level of service. Same is true with Apple. That is a strategy that the company has taken. It's not a bad strategy. But there are many other strategies where you would go into and interact with a employee of the company and get blown away. And that is not what Apple is like. Everyone's the same and everyone's helpful. That said, you look at companies can be so much greater than the sum of the parts, right? It's not just a nameless, faceless company, but it's actually brands inside the company that's being successful. That's the direction we're moving. How do you manage it? In today's world, how do you have a bunch of influencers who work for your company? That's an interesting question. We don't have all the answers to that. But certainly, there's an opportunity for transformation that we're seeing every day.
Yeah. And one thing I want to make sure we hit, we don't miss, is you talked about clarity and how clarity is an essential part of credibility. How are those two linked?
I'll tell the audience, here's an interesting thing. I believe any company, any human in the world can explain who they are and how they show up in 10 words or less.
Mm.
Now, if you have that level of clarity, somebody says, who are you? How do you do? You've often heard the person who speaks for 5, 10, 15 minutes and they serve the world. If you can do that in seconds, the most natural request that comes back is tell me more. So for me, my 8 words, coaches who've created a job, not a business. And And when you look at that and you think about, Mitchell, what do you mean? What's a job? And so let me do my, I'll do my tell me more, right? But now what I'm doing, I'm answering that question from the container of simplicity. Coaches who've created a job, not a business. I'll tell you a little bit more. I actually work with coaches, consultants, smaller businesses that have 1 to 2 primary rainmakers. And what they're really good, they've been taught how to do transformation. They've been taught how to bring a company or an individual from A to B. But I'll tell you something they haven't been taught. In today's world, they've not been taught on how to actually do business development, how to have conversations, how to walk somebody from somebody off the street to somebody who's a client. Well, I have a Done With You program that actually helps coaches do that. Yeah. What's interesting about that 1 minute is I don't have to say a lot about me. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about describing the playground I play in. And I mean it this way. It's a playground. And then I have tools that I use in my playground. If you're really interested and you go, Mitchell, I'm really interested, I can then go into more detail about the tools, but you don't care about it up front. You just care if you're listening and you're one of two people, not one of three people. Craig, when you share a CPOP, there are 1 of 3 people who are going to listen. They're a potential referral partner. I'm hoping that's what you and I are, potential referral partner. They could be a potential prospect. If that happens, that's great. We could potentially be products of each other or customers of each other. Or the third piece could be they don't care. It doesn't mean they don't care about you. It just means they don't care about your CPOP. They don't care about the playground you play. It is very natural when you share something that is less than 10 words to know if somebody's a referral partner or a prospect, because they're going to say, tell me more.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
I love that. Mitchell, here's the problem. We could go on for another hour. I don't feel like we've even begun to scratch the surface of what you have to bring, but unfortunately we're out of time.
I know. I'm looking at my calendar. Yeah, we can't.
So, but I absolutely believe people need to reach out to you. How do they reach you?
You know, the easiest way is just go to my website. So it's mitchelllevy.com. So that's 3 L's, mitchelllevy.com. And from there, you can take a look at the products, programs, the things we do on Simplicity, the Referral Network Club, which we talked about. And if you feel the need to put time on my calendar, you get access to my calendar and book time. So it's mitchelllevy.com.
Excellent. I do hope people will reach out to you because and I promise whoever does reach out to you will be immediately delighted by you, because that's in your DNA.
Thank you. And
I think you have something generous to give. And so I hope people do reach out to you. Mitchell, thank you for being on Leaders and Legacies.
My pleasure, Craig. It's nice of you to say that, and I'm honored. So thank you.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.